just looking at the data first, we still got the data reflecting an economy before COVID-19 in places like the United States, although it's well and truly through it in terms of places like China. But just going to the US first, we're getting some nuances in what it might mean for the economy there, because some of the more up-to-date data, like manufacturing purchasing managers indexes, we had some preliminary March data, and of course March, they were closing down large parts of the United States. And what we're finding is what you'd probably expect, and that is that the services sector is being hit particularly hard. And so the March services PMI, which was at 49.4 going back to February, came down to 39.1. That's a very, very low reading for that particular indicator. It was worse than the market expected too. But on the other side of this, manufacturers are being probably asked to do more through the COVID-19 crisis. You can't import so much, so you're having to do more manufacturing yourself in your own countries. And the interesting one was the preliminary March manufacturing PMI at the US. It was at 50.7 going back to February. And they thought that that would probably come down to low 40s. It barely moved down at all. It came down to 49.2. So there's some evidence here that manufacturing sectors, which are only small parts of the economy, are going to be one of those areas that probably come through this pretty well, and are going to be asked to do even more as we go through the COVID-19 crisis. Some of the other data out the US, most of it's almost irrelevant. We had things like new home sales for the month of February. They were starting to come down in response to the crisis. Going back to January, phenomenally strong at plus 10.5%. They fell 4.4% for the most recent month. But the number that really sort of shook people were the initial jobless claims for the most recent week. This is where you've got huge areas like California, New York, being locked down. And initial jobless claims, which we were talking about initial jobless claims running 200,000 to 250,000 mark most of the way through the recovery phase, and consistent with the strong unemployment rate. Well, they soared by over 3 million. And so the latest initial jobless claims are not in the 200,000s, they're now 3,283,000. And initial jobless claims in the current week, which will come out on Thursday, are expected to surge by another 3 million. In other words, they'll be up over 6 million. This is some indication of the pressure will go straight to the unemployment rate. The unemployment rate will rise because of that. But other data last week, we had things like February personal income, personal spending, out of the US. Those are still looking okay. Personal income was up 0.6% in February, was up 0.6% in January. That'll obviously go off a cliff when we get the March numbers. Personal spending was running at 0.2, same as the month before. That one I'll come back to. And the other interesting one we had was right at the end of the week, we had March Michigan consumer sentiment. You'd expect this one to genuinely tank. We were at 95.9 going back to February, and the market thought we'd go well and truly down into the 80s. Well, we did just, but to 89.1. So, it came down. It's a bit like the manufacturing one. The two leading indicators, which are sentiment surveys, which you would expect to take quite a hit, the manufacturing PMI and the consumer sentiment, they've taken a hit, but nowhere near as extensive as you might expect. So it'll take time to work out what's going on here and what was happening. We'll have to wait and see how these move, of course, over coming weeks. And what is certain now is that the US is vying with Europe for worst number of infections in COVID-19. Nowhere near the peak in either the United States or Europe at this point. So we've still got a lot of damage from shutdowns, extensive shutdowns of part of the economy, which are going to run for quite some time yet. Apart from details about measures, and the measures are interesting. Although unemployment rates are going to go up very sharply in many places, it's a different sort of unemployment, because many people are going to find that a reasonable proportion of their wage is being subsidised, their previous wage. So even though they're not working, they are still going to get some income. So in a way, this does sort of play with the normal loop you get with a downturn in economic activity, which is the unemployment rate goes up, people have lost their jobs, they've not got an income other than a very basic social security and welfare benefit if they're entitled to that, and that's what tends to give you the secondary loops in terms of spending coming down. This is different this time because every country around the world is looking at ways in which they can prop wages, even for those who've been laid off. And of course, we'll get the package that will come through here later in the week as well, which will extend already what they've done for the New Start allowance, which is more than doubled that. So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out too. Income's not going to be hit as much in this very sharp downturn as it would normally be when you get those sorts of figures. Other data we're looking at through the course of this week, we get one or two regional March manufacturing PMIs. We got the March Chicago Purchasing Managers Index coming out in the US. That's expected to come down to about 40 from 49.0. That's out on Tuesday. We've got consumer confidence. This is the conference board's consumer confidence. It'll be interesting to see if this does something similar to the March Michigan Consumer Sentiment Survey. They are expecting a pretty big fall. It was at 130.7 going back to February. They expect that to come down to 112. And then the really interesting ones in the data, March non-farm payrolls coming out right at the end of the week on Friday. And at this point, I'd have to say that the market consensus doesn't look right, because the market thinks that non-farm payrolls will be down only 100,000. Previous 2 months, we had non-farm payrolls lifting by 273,000 each of those months. Given what we know of people signing on for initial jobless claims, that minus 100,000 is going to be out by several orders of magnitude. So that will be a much, much worse figure than that. As a result, the market's expectation about the unemployment rate doesn't look right either. The market consensus on that one is that the unemployment rate in the US in March will go up from 3.5%, which was the lowest unemployment rate since 1969, going back to February, will go up to 3.9%. I suspect that it'll go up a lot more than that. So waiting to see those numbers as we go through the later part of the week. And also average hourly earnings will probably be hit to a degree as well. Previously, that was running at plus 0.3%, plus 3% year on year. That market thinks will be 0.2, 3.0. So through the course of this week, it is still looking at COVID infection rates, which are one of the key parts. We've got massive policy response, and in the case of the US, running to trillions of dollars of support for incomes for businesses and also for households. And of course, we've got open-ended QE as far as the Fed is concerned now, where it will quite happily buy corporate debt now as well. A lot of this makes it quite hard to call exactly how this will pan out, other than that it should soften the economic impact of this over time. You're still going to get GDP numbers which tank completely running through Q2 going into Q3, but the possibility of sort of economies holding together in terms of spending, far less bankruptcies than you'd normally expect running through this sort of event, and incomes holding up, it makes it quite interesting in terms of what might happen. In China last week, we had no data other than more signs that the economy is opening up. And China is going to be the odd man out now in terms of what happens in terms of the economic outlook over this next few months. And it will stay that way. And what I mean by the odd man out, it had its worst quarter in the Q1. We'll see how deep the downturn was in Q1 when we get their GDP numbers that come out in the middle of April. But we're already starting to get a lot of businesses which are reopening. They've got on top of the curve. They've got COVID numbers down. And the issue for them is secondary infection. As they open up the economy and open up to their borders as well, will that mean that you get a second round of COVID, which will pull them back down? Assuming they don't, and that's a big assumption, then China starts to recover from here, and you'll start to see that coming through in some of the numbers. This week out of China, the market expects that in purchasing managers' reports for the month of March. China had big reductions in those purchasing manager indices going back to the month of February, where the manufacturing PMI, the official one, was down to 35.7, and the services sector PMI was down to 29.6. Well, they haven't got a consensus for what they think the services PMI will do, but the manufacturing PMI they think will lift. Now, that would be remarkable. It will suggest that you've got the beginnings of an inflection up, and they think it will go up to 45.0. So you've still got soft economic activity running into the first part of Q2, but nowhere near as weak as through Q1. So China's literally gone through this and starting to come out. But in no way is that a template for the rest of the world, because they had far more draconian lockdowns to get on top of the virus there. Many other places have had not quite the same degree of lockdown, and they did it rather late in the piece too. And so, obviously it's going to be a much, much longer trajectory before you get on top of COVID-19 in some of these other places because of that. Turning to Australia, we had no data last week, but it was a story of progressive lockdown, but also a series of these packages which are becoming more and more generous to try and keep the economy in a position where it can recover. And in Australia, we've invented this term too of hibernating businesses. This is the idea that's coming through these packages from the government now, that we can put certain businesses into hibernation. Yes, they do stand down workers, but with the new package which will be announced at the end of this week, those workers technically are still on the books. They still count as unemployed. When we get the unemployment numbers here, the unemployment survey asks whether you worked a certain number of hours in a particular period. So if you're on stand down, you didn't work any hours, so you count as unemployed. But many of these people will be getting some income from their employers through this next package. That should also limit the surge that we saw going back last week at the queues at the CES, where people, literally their income support was New Start and the more generous New Start that had come in. Moving ahead, once we get that next package, it won't be New Start. It will be the government working to provide money to businesses to pay a certain proportion of people's wages, and then those businesses are paying those wages even though the business is basically not functioning, the business has also got 3 months or 6 months reprieve on things like payroll taxes from the states. It's also got a reprieve on tax payments and rental payments. All these sorts of things, this idea that you can put certain businesses into hibernation and they can come back into action at some point beyond. This is good in many ways, but it also negates one of the backhanded benefits you get from downturns. Think back to Paul Keating, the recession we had to have. That recession we had to have was to knock out some of the most inefficient businesses. So that the ones that came along afterwards were well and truly competitive. You got a big lift in productivity when the economy started to resurge as well, because you knocked out a lot of the deadwood. We won't be knocking out the deadwood in this. We'll be going into the recovery phase with the best and the worst of businesses still able to come out. This is a weird sort of recession in that sense. It's sort of it's not going to have the same sort of, if you like, cleansing impact that recessions in the past have had, which give such a lot of vigour to the recovery phase. This week in Australia, in terms of data, we have February home building approvals. These probably bounced because this is before the big upturn in COVID-19 infections. So probably likely to be up 4.5% after falling 15.3% going back to January. We get Q1 job vacancies, which will be an interesting one because we've got jobs falling away, but we've also got at the tail end of this an awful lot of jobs which are coming on in the healthcare area and, of course, in the big big food retailers. On Friday, we'll get February retail trade. We've already had a preliminary reading of this, and it was plus 0.4%. That was mostly a hoarding impact moving into that. So still not looking too bad after being down by 0.3% going back the month before. Moving to Europe, which is really, you know, by far and away the worst of the COVID-19 infections at the moment, where we've seen a horrific number of deaths too coming from the virus, and where lockdowns have become most extreme in other than the ones that were imposed in China going back a while. Interesting, again, some of the data that's come through there. Consumer confidence has taken a knock, but not as big a knock as the market expected in the month of March. It was at minus 6.6 going back to February, minus 11.6 for the month of March. And also preliminary March PMIs. Services sector has been knocked for six. And so the services PMI was at 52.8 going back to February. That fell to 28.4, so really, really low. But rather like we've seen in the United States, and even here when we saw our manufacturing PMI a while back, the March preliminary manufacturing PMI was at 51.6, was expected to collapse to mid-30s, came down to 44.8. So it's that same sort of factor that there's a little bit of protection for some forms of manufacturing through this. And that one we're watching. This week in Europe, we have the March business and consumer confidence of combined sentiment survey comes out later on tonight. That will come down quite a way from 103.5 in February down to 93. We have preliminary March CPI and core CPI. In a way, inflation rates almost everywhere have become irrelevant. Because central banks aren't obviously operating try and contain inflation in the near term. It's they're trying to protect their economies in the near term and their financial systems. And so, but interestingly, the inflation rate expects to come back a bit in Europe to 0.8% year on year from 1.2% going back the month before. We'll get the February unemployment rate, too early to show the impact of coronavirus, so that's still down at a 10-year low, we think, at 7.4%, the same as the month before. We'll also get producer prices and retail sales, and both for February, so these numbers aren't really relevant for the time being. All the way through Europe, we're getting some extraordinary wage subsidies. In many countries, 80% of existing wages are going to be paid to those who are laid off because of COVID-19. Again, it's that interesting concept of income being protected, which would not normally happen when you get this severity of downturn. So, these are the interesting consequences we've got at the moment. In terms of financial sector, The other part about this is, we know now roughly where interest rates can be set for quite some time now. We know that in our own case, where we've got 0.25% is the interest rate cash through to the three-year part of the curve, that the Reserve Bank's going to be with its QE moving in there buying Commonwealth government bonds to protect that 0.25%. It'll also be buying local and semi-government securities. That's to allow state governments to spend what they need to blow their budgets and not worry about interest rate consequences on those securities. Increasingly, the Reserve Bank will be watching other rates as well. My guess is that if they see untoward movement in any other rates, they will add those into what they do in terms of QE. They are adverse to messing up market signals, but that's a very long second now to protecting the economy. So that's where, for this next 6 months, an awful lot of things are really going to be put on hold. I was asked last week about what it means if the ratings agencies come in and knock down Australia's AAA. My short answer to that is it will mean very little at all. The ratings agencies are important for certain mandates, but to the extent that those mandates have to move from one type of security into another, you've got the liquidity support which are be coming through from the RBA as it watches all these changes.